common expression of this faith. But here, to understand this verse, we need to understand the nature of bhakti. Just as Lord Sri Krishna, he comes to this material universe, material world, by his own sweet will. Even though there are many circumstantial causes by which Krishna comes to this material world, he even explains his mission that I come to kill demons, I come to uphold religion, I come to destroy those who are followers of irreligion, I come to protect devotees. But these are all circumstantial reasons. Krishna can do all this without coming down. He can kill demons without weapons. He can kill demons without taking an incarnation. He is sitting in the heart of demons. Inside only he can do heart attack. He can pull their artery, pull their nerve, and they will be finished. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. Why to come with a weapon and fight with an army? You can just do it from inside. But still Krishna comes. Why does he come? For his own pastimes. He is completely independent. We can't make a cause and say he came because of this. When we make a cause, we are making a force on him that he has to follow this. But he is independent. He is not dependent. He is Swaraj. There is no why for his any of his activities. Any of the activities which Krishna does, he can not do that activity, still fulfill the objective. He cannot come down, still fulfill his mission. So he comes by his sweet will, completely independent, free will. Nobody can force him to come. There is no cause for his coming down. So as Krishna is free to come down, equally bhakti is free to manifest in a soul's heart. As Krishna is independent, bhakti is independent. As Krishna is, Krishna's activities are causeless, bhakti's manifestation is also causeless. Just as Krishna is coming down by his sweet will, so he is visible to any jiva. He is perceived by senses of any jiva by his free will. When Krishna's coming to planet Earth is by his sweet will, then Krishna coming in front of somebody's eyes is also by his sweet will. Just as nobody can force Krishna to come on planet Earth, in the same way nobody can force Krishna to be present in front of his eyes. This is his free will. So bhakti, devotional service, manifest in somebody's heart is by bhakti's free will. Bhakti Devi's free will. Bhakti is not caused by any prior activity or by any prior pious credits or by any prior good fortune. No. If pious activities give rise to bhakti or good fortune give rise to bhakti, then bhakti becomes dependent. Bhakti is equal to Krishna, because the process and the performance of pure devotional service is under the internal potency of Krishna. Pure devotional service conquers Krishna. So pure devotional service cannot be less than Krishna. Pure devotional service is equal to Krishna. So the nature of bhakti and the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is same. both are independent. One cannot say because dash, hence I became devotee. Whatever you fill in this because dash is wrong. Because I saw Prabhupada's book in my library, hence I became devotee. Or because some devotee gave me pamphlet, hence I became devotee. Or because of this, no. These are circumstantial. The actual cause of somebody practicing bhakti doesn't exist. It's causeless. Bhakti is independent. Bhakti is causeless. Bhakti is not dependent on anything. However pious activities we do, however help we do materially to people by giving food, by giving clothes, by giving shelter, by opening hospitals, by opening anatha ashrams, by opening, sorry, I was to say schools, but I should not say, by making available drinking water, by trees, planting trees, by donating cows to the brahmanas, by performance of yajnas, by charity. However thousands and crores of pious activities we do, they don't give rise to bhakti. However knowledge we acquire, however renunciation we practice, they don't give rise to bhakti. King Rahugun, he asked Jad Bharat, who was appearing to be a madman but very elevated saintly personality. So King Rahugun asked, how do I become Krishna conscious? Tell me, how do I, what is the process? Jad Bharat said, you cannot become Krishna conscious by doing your king duties nicely. You cannot become Krishna conscious by practicing celibacy. You cannot become Krishna conscious by doing all the duties of household life. You cannot become Krishna conscious by being a good sannyasi. You cannot become Krishna conscious by acquiring knowledge. You cannot become Krishna conscious by penance. You cannot become Krishna conscious by yajna. These are not the processes of becoming Krishna conscious. Bhakti is completely independent. We don't have control on Krishna and we don't have control on Bhakti Dev. As much as we don't have control on sun, what should we do so that sun rises tomorrow? Nothing. Do we have control on sun? That okay, I will make sun rise 1 hour before. Any powerful person can do this. Any person with good pious credits can do this. Any person by tapasya can do this. By yajna, by jnana, by celibacy, by compassion. No. When we don't have any control over the sun to rise, how will I control for Krishna prema to rise in our heart? How will I control for Krishna to rise in our heart? We don't have any control. So this is very pakka, strong principle of Bhagavatam, that bhakti is independent. But then the question arises that it looks partial. Some people get bhakti, some people don't get bhakti. If there is no cause, then why? Krishna kills demons and he has loving pastime with devotees. Is Krishna partial? But another principle says Krishna is not partial. It is impossible for Krishna to be partial. Because he is free from envy, he is free from ego, he is free from desire of profit. He is not partial. In fact, this quality of Krishna increases his reputation, that he is bhakta vatsalya. Out of all qualities of Krishna, this quality is highest. and to continue expressing this quality, Krishna may be ready to cut down all his other qualities. Like in Mahabharata, he took weapon, a wheel of chariot, to kill Bhishma Pitama. So he had taken a vow, he will not take weapons. And Bhishma Pitama had taken a vow that either Arjun will be killed or Krishna will take weapons. So because his Bhakta Vatsalya, because he's affectionate to Bhishma Dev, to keep Bhishma Dev's vow, he broke his vow. So he is okay if the world calls me non-determined person. He is okay if the world calls me doesn't fulfill his commitment, doesn't fulfill his vow. He is okay with it. But he is not okay with if the world says he is not Bhakta Vatsalya, he is not affectionate to devotees. When Jarasandh attacked him 18th time, 17th time Jarasandh attacked him and got defeated. His whole army was killed. When 18th time Jarasandh attacked him, Krishna ran away. Now if a Kshatriya runs away, his name will be spoiled like anything. He will be called coward, dishonored, insulted. And Krishna ran away. He is called Ranchod because of this. And we worship Krishna as Ranchod for devotees. But imagine what would Jarasandh, Shishupal, Rukmi, whenever they sit together and discuss about Krishna, how much they must be laughing and insulting Krishna. That he ran away. He ran away. Among them, there must be this criticism, this insulting discussion about Krishna for years to come till they were alive. Till they were alive, they insulted Krishna. Then why did Krishna run away? Because Bhakta Vatsalya, because Rukmini Devi was waiting for him. Rukmini Devi wrote a letter to Krishna. And to protect Rukmini Devi and to respond to Rukmini Devi, he was okay to dissolve his reputation as a warrior. He accepted Ranchod, a coward man, so that Rukmini Devi gets prompt response. So Krishna will never leave his quality of Bhakta Vatsalya. So when he protects devotees and kills demons, that's not partiality. That is Yatha Mam Prapadyanti. He is responding to a person who is surrendered to him. Ye Yatha Mam Prapadyanti. But then, many places you will hear bhakti is caused by association of pure devotees. This is also causeless. Bhakti comes only from bhakti. That is meaning of bhakti is independent. A pure devotee is non-different from Krishna. So when a pure devotee carries bhakti in his heart and we come in contact with that pure devotee, we get that bhakti. There is no other way. Then our pure devotees partial, they give bhakti to somebody, they don't give bhakti to somebody. So even though Krishna gives bhakti, Krishna gives his mercy, causeless mercy, but Krishna depends on his devotees to distribute this mercy. There are Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari and Uttam Adhikari. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, a Madhyama is one who has four types of relationship. A, with Krishna, he has a relationship of worship, master and servant. B, with other devotees, he has a relationship of friendliness. He respects and befriends other devotees. With innocent people, he has a relationship of compassion. Those who are innocent and neutral, he gives them Krishna consciousness. And D, with envious people, he neglects. He avoids them. So this Madhyam Adhikari, a pure devotee, who may be Uttam Adhikari, coming on Madhyama platform, or a Madhyam Adhikari, who is a pure soul, he is given this agency, Krishna's agency, to distribute Krishna's mercy. Even though Krishna is independent, but when he gives the agency to his devotee, Krishna depends on the devotee whom to give, whom not to give. And the devotee, when he sees an innocent person, he gives mercy. And when he is an envious person, he neglects. So even if Krishna wants to give mercy to this envious person, Krishna will not be able to give. And Krishna doesn't want to give to this innocent person, Krishna will have to give. Why? Because Krishna is conquered by this devotee. There was an offender called Gopal Chappal. Gopal Chappal, he offended Srivas Pandit. And Srivas Pandit didn't take it seriously. But because of his offense, he developed leprosy. And his body, there were lots of wounds. And because of the disease, he was staying outside the village. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was going towards the river in Navadvip, Mayapur, Gopal Chappal, he met Gopal Chappal. Gopal Chappal begged forgiveness from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, fell at his feet. He said, "You are Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, please forgive me." Chaitanya said, "No, I can't forgive you. Namo Mahavadanaya, one who is most magnanimous, unlimitedly generous." Gopal Chappal fell at his feet and begged forgiveness. But he said, "I can't forgive you. My desire is, I pray to Krishna, that you rot in hell for millions of years, for millions of births." Chaitanya said this to Gopal Chappal. Who will say this is Namo Mahavadanaya? But he didn't pardon. Then next time, after becoming sannyasi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again visited Navadvip. And Gopal Chappal was still suffering. And again he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And again he requested, "Please forgive me." And Chaitanya said, "No." Again as a sannyasi, he said, "No." He said, "If you want forgiveness, you go to Srivas." So he went to Srivas Pandit and begged forgiveness. And Srivas forgave him. And he got the mercy, he got Krishna prayer. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want to give to Gopal Chappal. But Srivas Pandit wanted to give. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. There's another classic example, Devanand Pandit. Devanand Pandit from childhood was a very austere Brahmana, fully in mode of goodness. The only thing he did from childhood till adult is recite and speak Srimad Bhagavatam. Whole life he recited Srimad Bhagavatam, he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Very austere Brahmana, he lived life like a sannyasi, hardly any eating, sleeping, whole day reading Bhagavatam and reciting. Teaching Bhagavatam, he had his own school where he would teach Bhagavatam and had very less sense objects, very austere person, very honest, very intelligent, very respectable Brahman. So one day he was teaching his students Srimad Bhagavatam and outside his school Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking with his devotees. And actually the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam from the school classroom went into the ears of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard those beautiful verses, he became angry. He said, "Who is this Devanand Pandit? He doesn't know anything about Srimad Bhagavatam and he is teaching here Srimad Bhagavatam. He is nonsense. He doesn't understand even one word of Srimad Bhagavatam and he is holding classes about Srimad Bhagavatam. Anybody who differentiates between Bhagavatam, Krishna and my devotee is an atheist. Because these three are same. And this Devanand Pandit does not know this. I will go and tear his book now." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go and tear his Bhagavatam. The devotee restrained him. "Mahaprabhu, please, please don't go." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on saying. And he said, once Devanand Pandit was sitting with his students reciting Srimad Bhagavatam and my Srivas Pandit, he was walking on the road and he heard a very beautiful word describing the beautiful form of Shyam Sundar how he is taking care of cows with flute and peacock feather and yellow dhoti and Vaijanti garland. And when Srivas heard these words in 10th canto, immediately Srivas went inside the classroom because such attractive words he heard. And tears started coming from Srivas' eyes, his body started trembling, he fell unconscious and started crying. This was his ecstasy. But the students of Devanand Pandit, they thought some person has come and is disturbing the class. They got up, they took Srivas, four students, and they threw him on the road. And Devanand sitting and watching all this, he didn't understand that after hearing the Bhagavatam words, this devotee is having ecstasy. Because, he said, because Devanand Pandit, the guru doesn't have devotion, hence the students doesn't have devotion. And Srivas Pandit felt very hurt, very hurt. His heart was very troubled. He went home crying. And then he opened Bhagavatam, still crying. And then Krishna personally came down in the heart of Srivas Pandit. And by reading that Bhagavatam and Krishna's presence, he developed Krishna prema. He became joyful and so much he cried that whole place was wet. So this Devanand Pandit had offended Srivas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want to give mercy to Srivas. Everybody in Navadvip Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ready to give mercy. But he didn't meet Srivas, Devanand Pandit, after taking sannyas. So later on in Jagannath Puri, once Devanand Pandit went to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was after he met Vakreshwar Pandit. By the association of Vakreshwar Pandit, Devanand Pandit understood the real meaning of Bhagavatam. And he understood the real position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He understood he had offended Srivas Pandit. He went and begged forgiveness from Srivas Pandit. Then he went to Jagannath Puri to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His heart was changed. So in front of everybody, he was standing in the corner. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Devanand and sat. And very nicely he spoke. Earlier he chastised Devanand Pandit. Now he spoke very nicely. And he said, I am speaking to you because you have mercy of Vakreshwar Pandit. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want to give mercy to Devanand Pandit. He did not want it. He chastised him. But because Vakreshwar Pandit decided to give mercy to Devanand Pandit, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was merciful on Devanand Pandit. And then he forgave Devanand Pandit. And Devanand Pandit folded his hands and said, my dear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, since childhood I am reciting and speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam, but I myself don't know what is Srimad Bhagavatam. So what should I do now? How should I recite Srimad Bhagavatam? In essence, he is asking him, how should he teach Srimad Bhagavatam? I should give a class of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Devanand Pandit how to give a Bhagavatam class. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bhagavatam class should be given in three stages. Those who are in future planning to give, please write this down. In three stages, Bhagavatam class should be given. In the first stage of Bhagavatam class, one should explain only pure devotional service. This is how one should start his Bhagavatam class. Because Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna. The only message of Bhagavatam class is pure devotional service. So first stage one should explain only pure devotional service. Start. Then the end part of Srimad Bhagavatam, the conclusion, should be only pure devotional service. Because that is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. One should explain in beginning pure devotional service, and in end, one should explain pure devotional service. And most important, the middle part, one should explain only pure devotional service. Because Bhagavatam contains nothing else. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. Non-different from Krishna. Swarup Damodar Goswami very famously, very popularly used to say this, that one should learn Bhagavatam from Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam Pustak, Bhagavatam Book, should be learned from Bhagavatam person, Bhagavatam Purush. Then only one can understand Bhagavatam. Just because one knows Sanskrit or English and he can read and write, that doesn't mean one can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. The essential principle of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is pure devotional service, is understood only when we hear it from pure devotees. Also, only these pure devotees who control Krishna's mercy, who control the distribution of Krishna's mercy to the conditioned souls, they are non-different from pure devotional service. And with their causeless mercy, we can receive bhakti. There is no other way. As I explained, King Rahugun, when he asked, Garbhara said, you cannot get devotional service by this. Then what is the way? One can get devotional service only by Mahat, Pad, Raj, Abhishekam. Only when one does Abhishek of his body with Mahat, Mahatma, a sadhu's dust of lotus feet of a sadhu, only by that one can get pure devotional service. Then the question comes, who is a pure devotee? And Jagbara says, pure devotees are those who only speak about Krishna, who only hear about Krishna. In an assembly of pure devotees, you will not find any topic on politics, any topic on sociology, any topics on current climate or political situation, or any topic of cricket or what is happening nowadays. You will not find this. In an assembly of pure devotees, topics of only Krishna are discussed. Narad Muni's previous life was a Gandharva, Upabharhan Gandharva. Very handsome personality, very beautiful bodily features, very sweet voice, very expert musician. He would play and sing so nicely that he was famous even in Devlok, even in Rishilok, even in Brahmalok, he was famous. And he had so many girls who were his fans, who would get attracted to his singing. And whenever he would have a performance, they would come and sit in front of him and clap and whatever they are supposed to do, they would do. And he always had lusty desires because of these girls around him. So one day the Prajapatis, including the higher demigods, they had a Sankirtan festival, Kirtan Mela. Akhand Harinam. So with others, they invited Upabharhan also. Said, you also come and sing Harinam. And he came with the girls' party. And he sat. And instead of singing Harinam, he started praising the demigods. He started singing song in the praise of demigods. The Prajapatis got so angry on him, they cursed him to become a son of a Shudra in next life. And we know Narad Muni's childhood life. He was born to a maid servant with no guardian, no father. This was a curse to Narad Muni, cursed by the Prajapati. Why? Because he sat in an assembly of devotees and he sang the praises of the devotees. He came in an assembly of devotees with girls around him, the woman around him. These both are offenses. Not only in assembly of devotees, in any assembly in Vedic culture, male and female should be separated. They don't combine together, one party, equality. But he came in the assembly with girls following him, with women following him, chanting the holy names with opposite sex, doesn't make sense. And then he sat in that assembly and glorified demigods. Rupa Rai cinema songs, he sang cinema songs. So anything which is not devotional kirtan, that's cinema song. So even if it is whatever, Ganpati Bappa Moriya, it's a cinema song. Doesn't make sense in the assembly of pure devotees. And so he was cursed. So this is a very essential characteristic of a pure devotee. 24 hours constantly he is engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. He is never tired. He is always eager, enthusiastic to speak about Krishna, to hear about Krishna, to glorify Krishna, to chant his sweet name, to describe his beautiful form, to describe his wonderful qualities and to narrate his all attractive aspects. That is a pure devotee. Such a pure devotee is mobile pilgrimage place. Such a pure devotee, wherever he goes, that place becomes holy. And if we go to a holy place, we should search out for such a pure devotee. Vidura is one such. Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying, you are yourself Tirtha. You are yourself holy dham. A pure devotee always is in constant touch with Krishna. Krishna is manifested through the body of a pure devotee. So wherever a pure devotee is, Krishna is present. And wherever Krishna is present, that place is holy. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Advaita Acharya at the other side of the Yamuna river, sorry, Ganga river, Antipur village, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking he is in Vrindavan. Nityananda cheated him. So he saw Advaita Acharya, he was surprised. Advaita, when did you come to Vrindavan? And what is Advaita replied? My Lord, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. Wherever is Krishna, that is Vrindavan. And wherever a pure devotee is, that is Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada personally, when he was giving a class in New York, he said about Vrindavan. And he said, Vrindavan is so far away from here. And Prabhupada started glorifying Vrindavan. And he said, I am feeling separation from Vrindavan. But actually, I am a Vrindavan. And he explained how. That if a person is completely conscious of Krishna, that place is Vrindavan. That place is Mathura. Vrindavan or Mathura or a holy dham is not just geographical place. It is state of consciousness. So even state is pure, elevated, he is in a holy dham. So Krishna's mercy is everywhere. Like electricity is everywhere in all the wires. But at one place you touch a bulb and you get illumination. So we get benefit from bulb or electricity? Actually electricity. But if there is no bulb, how will we get benefit of that electricity or no appliance? In the same way, Krishna's mercy is everywhere and pure devotee is like a bulb. He is the one who manifests that mercy to us. And under that bulb, we can see things and do our acting. So Vidura is like bulb, that electric bulb connected to the powerhouse, connected and electricity flowing through him. That means Krishna present inside the heart of Vidura. And under that bulb, one can do his activities. Under the pure devotee, under the guidance and shelter of a pure devotee, one can perform his constitutional activities. Otherwise, one will remain in darkness, even if there are electric wires around him. Krishna's mercy is there, but if you are not under the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, we don't have capability and eligibility to access that mercy. In fact, Krishna says, Tad nidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. Go and approach a self-realized soul. Serve him, ask him questions. And he will guide you, he will give you knowledge. Why? Because he has seen the truth. Krishna himself says this. So when we go to a holy dham, we don't go to see temples or rivers or take bath in rivers or visit kundas or trees. We go to hear. We can see by ears. We can't see by eyes. So when we go to holy dham, we should search out a sadhu, a pure devotee of Krishna, and hear from him. And when we hear, we actually see the dham. Otherwise, even a donkey and a pigeon will go, a sparrow will go to Vrindavan and go and do dukki in Yamuna and go and do parikrama to Govardhan and go inside a temple and see Shyam Sundar and come back. Is that Tirtha Yatra? That is not Tirtha Yatra. Tirtha Yatra is when you hear from a sadhu. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur took Vrindavan Yatra, at the last day of the Yatra, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur had to leave early. And on the schedule, there was a place to visit. So the manager of the Yatra, he announced that there is one place to be visited. So those devotees who want to go, they can go to that temple, Sri Gopal temple, and see the deity. And our Guru Maharaj Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur would speak class So those who want to sit, they can sit and hear class. So most of the pilgrims went to see the temple. Very few remained to hear the class. Out of the Srila Prabhupada was one such. He sat and heard the class. He used to like to hear the class. So later on when Srila Prabhupada was applying for initiation, so on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, one senior sannyasi spoke to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur that this Abhay Babu is there and he wants to apply for initiation. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur remarked, yes, I will give him initiation. What is the reason? Because he likes to hear. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was very happy to know that this boy, this person likes to hear. And Srila Prabhupada, when he narrated this story, he told, most of the time I would not understand his classes. Still I would sit and hear. Prabhupada told this. Most of the time I would not understand. So hearing is so important, even if you don't understand, you should hear. Hearing is very essential. So by hearing a pure devotee from another pure devotee, he becomes a pure devotee. Vyasdev, he heard from Narad Muni. And he wrote, Sukhdev Goswami heard from Vyasdev. And Parikshit heard from Sukhdev Goswami. Sutta Goswami heard from Sukhdev Goswami. And Sutta Goswami narrated to Shravana Krishna. This is the Guru Parampara. The Parampara where the knowledge is flowing, the purity is flowing, the Daya, the mercy is flowing by hearing. So if we give our ears attentive, submissive, oral reception to the words of a pure devotee, then only we can become pure devotee. There is no other way. So when we go to Dham, we should be in association of pure devotees. There was Jagdanand Pandit in Jagannath Puri. Jagdanand Pandit had a very different nature in service to of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi, very simple living. And Jagdanand Pandit, in his mood of seva, he would serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in such a way that he wanted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to have all the opulences and luxuries, a very nice soft bed and very nice garments, nice opulent food and nice fragrant oil to massage. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would reject all this. He would not take. He said, if a sannyasi takes all this, then it is hypocrisy. So often Jagannath Pandit would be angry on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was a colour in between them every time. Every time Jagannath Pandit would do something and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would reject, and Jagannath Pandit would become angry, and for 3-4 days he will not eat anything, closed in the room, fasting. Once Jagannath Pandit, very big pot of oil he brought, all the way walking from Bengal to Jagannath Puri. Very big pot of fragrant oil. Why he brought? So to apply to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body, his body will be cool. Very fragrant. He brought on his shoulders. Very heavy. And he came and gave to Govind. And he told Govind, apply this to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. Massage him after afternoon or whatever schedule he gave. And at head, his body will be cool. So Govind said, okay. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this oil. I said, what is this, Govind? Who brought this oil? He said, this is for a massage. He said, how can I take this oil? If I apply this oil, tomorrow morning when I go for darshan, everybody will get the fragrance and they will think I am not a good sannyasi. I can't take this oil. Govind said, Jagdanand Pandit has brought this. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had fear. Now what to do? I can't say yes, I can't say no. He said, tell him, I don't want. Somehow you tell him. And when Jagannath Pandit came to know about this, he became so angry, he came and broke the whole pot. He said, I didn't give you any oil. So many times this happened. So Jagannath Pandit many times approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, Mahaprabhu, I want to go to Vrindavan. I have an intense desire to do Vrindavan. Now for a few days, please give me chutti, permission, I will go to Vrindavan. And every time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you can't go. And Jagannath Pandit used to say, why I should not go? He said, no, because you are angry with me. That's why you want to go. And so you will go and criticize me and become a beggar there. You just stay here. And Jagannath Pandit said, no, I am not angry with you. It's just my desire to go. Please allow me to go. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never allowed him to go ఉండాలని రా. సో ఫైనల్ జగదాన పండిట్ వచ్చి అడుగుతాము, సో మాకు ఇస్ నాట్ అలాయింగ్ టు గో టు బృందావన్, సో మెనీ డివోటీస్ ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు బృందావన్ యాత్ర, వితౌట్ హిస్ పర్మిషన్ ఐ కాంట్ గో, అన్లెస్ హీ గివ్స్ పర్మిషన్ హౌ విల్ ఐ గో, ప్లీజ్ పెటిషన్ ఆన్ మై బిహార్. సో సరూ దాంతో వెంట చెప్పిన మాకు ఇస్ ఇన్ బృందావన్ హ్యాస్ అ వెరీ డీప్ డిజైర్ టు గో టు బృందావన్, బట్ హీ విల్ నాట్ గో వితౌట్ యువర్ పర్మిషన్, ప్లీజ్ గివ్ హిమ్ పర్మిషన్ టు గో. హీ జస్ట్ గోస్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ డిజైర్, నాట్ బికాస్ హీస్ యాంగ్రీ విత్ యూ. హీ విల్ రిటర్న్ బ్యాక్ ఇన్ ఫ్యూ డేస్. సో సరూ దామోదర్ పర్సుయేట్ ఏంటైతే మాకు సరే ఓకే కాల్ చేద్దాం కాల్ చేద్దాం. హీ సెడ్ లుక్ యూ గో టు బృందావన్ టిల్ వారాణసి నో ప్రాబ్లమ్, యూ కెన్ వాక్, బట్ ఆఫ్టర్ దాట్ దెర్ ఇస్ అ జంగల్ ఏరియా వేర్ దెర్ ఆర్ రాబర్స్ హూ మే కిల్ వన్ పర్సన్ జస్ట్ ఫర్ ఫ్యూ థింగ్స్. సో దెర్ ఆర్ క్షత్రియాస్ హూ విల్ హెల్ప్ యూ, విత్ దెమ్ ఓన్లీ యూ గో, యూ డోంట్ వాక్ అలోన్. అండ్ యాజ్ సూన్ యాజ్ యూ రీచ్ బృందావన్ స్ట్రేట్ గో టు సనాతన్ గోస్వామి, అండ్ టిల్ ద ఎండ్ of the time you are in Vrindavan, you will associate only with Sanatana Goswami and nobody else. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him very strict instruction. If any forest, 12 forests of Vrindavan you go, or Parikrama you go, or bathing to Yamuna you go, anywhere you will go only with Sanatana Goswami. You will not go with anybody else. You will not associate with Brajvasis, the local residents. You will not try to observe how they serve Krishna. You only be with Sanatana Goswami, stay with him, and under his guidance, you go around and come back with him. Now, Jagdan Pandit is pure associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is the problem if he stays alone in Vrindavan? There is a problem. And the problem is, in Vrindavan, one should go and associate with a sadhu. A sadhu who is pure devotee of Krishna. Jagdan Pandit once upon a time used to advise Sanatana Goswami. And now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Jagdan, you associate only with Sanatana Goswami, do parikrama only with him, stay with him. So that there is no aparad to be done. So going to a holy dham, going to visiting a holy dham, means associating with a sadhu and hearing from him. Associating with a pure soul. And who is a pure soul? Anya Abhilashita Shunya, one has no material desire. One is completely engaged in Krishna service and mainly hearing and chanting the holy name, the beautiful form, the wonderful qualities and the all attractive pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God. One is 24 hours engaged in this consciousness. He is a devotee to be associated with. He is a devotee to be served. He is a devotee to receive instructions. So that one can easily grow in spiritual life. This is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised Jagdaram Pandit, that you go, you be with Sanatana Goswami. And Jagdaram Pandit followed his advice. He was always with Sanatana Goswami. Jagdaram Pandit will cook for himself and Sanatana Goswami will beg. He will beg for Jagdaram Pandit whatever ingredients he wants. But he didn't allow Jagdaram Pandit to go and beg and associate with Brajavasis. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also told Jagannath Pandit, you will not understand the mood of Brajavasis. You are in different mood of devotional service. They are in different mood of devotional service. So if you observe, you will not understand. So you better keep it. Even today when we go to the residents of Brajavasis, they appear to be in a very different mood. So we should not try to judge them. We should not try to even associate with them to learn something from them. They are in a different mood. They are having their own habits. But they are associating with Krishna every day, whole day, 24 hours. We go as a visitor, we go to worship the dham, we worship the dham, we worship the dham vasis, including the insects, including the leaves, including the sand, the grains of the sand, the drops of the kunda, the drops of water Yamuna. We worship them without doing any offense, under the guidance of a pure devotee, and we come back. If you do aparad in dham, like Vrindavan, then it is 1,000 times more effective. 1,000 times more it gives results, and that weakens our bhakti. That damages the small, nazuk, soft bhakti lata. So one should be very careful. So such pure devotees like Vidura, they are Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani, themselves walking holy places of Vrindavan. And whenever we get opportunity to associate and serve such personalities, we should be eager. We should not leave such opportunities. Any opportunity to hear is a very great opportunity. Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna, these two are not two. One, same, equal. Krishna is same as Srimad Bhagavatam. Our present situation, we have access to Krishna through the book Bhagavatam and through the holy name of Krishna. So very attentively, a serious practitioner should very attentively chant the holy names of Krishna on beats in the morning hours, minimum 16 rounds, and should hear and read Srimad Bhagavatam. When we do that, then very rapidly we progress in spiritual life. Holy Dham is a place where people go to purify themselves. But there are people who pollute also Holy Dham by their mischievous activities, by their bad habits, by going and breaking the four regulative principles, by going and doing commercial activities in the Holy Dham, by going and doing self gratification in the Holy Dham, by going and setting up businesses in the Holy Dham and trying to earn money from the pilgrims and showing the deity and making temples and making institutions and attracting donations for their own maintenance. These people go and pollute the Dham. So when such personalities like Vidura, they visit the Holy Dham, they remove this pollution. They remove this pollution and they make again the Dham pure enough. Mother Ganges, she has a great potency that anybody who takes bath, all the sins are nullified. So once Mother Ganges, she approached Krishna and she said, "My dear Lord, everybody who takes bath in me, they deposit their sin and they become purified. But all the sins are deposited in me, I am becoming impure. How will I become pure? How will Mother Ganga become pure?" And Krishna said, "Don't worry, in Kali Yuga, my great devotees will come. They will bathe in your waters and you will become pure because they will bathe in your waters." Now who are these great devotees who will purify even Mother Ganga? Mother Ganga emanates from the lotus feet of Krishna, Vishnu. So pure. Who are these devotees who will even purify Mother Ganga? So Mother Ganga said, "So many people will wear saffron dress, kanti mala and sadhu, baba. How will I know which are these devotees who will purify me?" So Krishna said, "There will be three characteristics of these devotees. A. They will chant the holy name of Krishna. B. They will always recite and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And C. The only thing they will eat is mangas. Only thing which is eatable which is offered to Krishna. Nothing else they will eat. These are the characteristics of pure souls in Kali Yuga. One who always chants the holy name of Krishna. One who reads, recites, discusses, hears Srimad Bhagavatam. And one who eats only mangas. These are the great ones. They purify Mother, even Mother Ganga. They purify even the holy place. So in Kali Yuga, more important is not just holy place. More important is association of such devotees. And in that association, we can grow nicely. So even though Vidura has visited all the holy places, but Yudhishthira Maharaj is more fortunate because he is receiving all the holy places in the form of Vidura right at his door. Of course, Vidura also met Uddhava, he met Maitreya Rishi, that was his fortune. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is very happy that you visited all the holy places, all the Tirthas, but actually all the Tirthas today, by your form, are coming to my house. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is so fortunate that a great devotee like Vidura is coming to his house to purify him. These pure sadhus, they travel house to house, not for any food, or donation, or sponsorship, they travel to enlighten, to purify. Household life is such that inevitably one becomes entangled, entangled in money, entangled in fruitive activities, entangled, even if one has knowledge, one gets entangled. But a visit of a sadhu, a devotee, makes a person realize the goal of human life is not this entanglement, is not fruitive activities, is not even liberation. What to speak about sense gratification? The goal of human life is to engage in pure devotional service to Krishna. So that is the duty of a sadhu, to go house to house, door to door, to enlighten people, remind them that the goal of life is Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada came to London, the reporters at airport, they asked him, Swamiji, why have you come here? Prabhupada said, I have come here to remind you that you have forgotten. And what we have forgotten? God. The forgotten God. I come here to remind you. When Garga Muni visited Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj is Brajavasi in Vrindavan. Krishna is his son. Balaram is his son. What more exalted position. And Garga Muni visits. Nanda Maharaj is so happy. He pays his dandavat pranam, washes his feet, offers him asana and prasad. And he says, I know you have come here only to enlighten. As a householder, I may forget the goal of my life. But as a pure soul wandering around, you have come here to enlighten us householders. Please tell us how can we serve. That is Nanda Maharaj's attitude towards us visiting sadhu. So this is the combination of a sadhu, a wandering mendicant who depends only on Krishna, not on donation or not on begging. It depends only on Krishna, goes door to door to speak Srimad Bhagavatam and enlighten people, and the householders who are pious to receive such souls and offer them whatever they need and support, encourage them in preaching Krishna consciousness by inviting their neighbors, inviting their friends. That's how ISKCON will also develop, not just by temples. Even ISKCON congregation or other householders, when they open their houses, invite their neighbors, friends, contacts and allow preachers to come and preach, then devotees, more and more people will become devotees. So Prabhupada, when he went to so many countries and cities, all the people who were well-wishers, they opened their houses. And that's how Prabhupada preached. When Prabhupada went to Malaysia, there was a very rich man in Malaysia. He offered his whole house to Prabhupada and his disciples. And they would cook for Prabhupada, the wife would cook for Prabhupada, and the husband will drive Prabhupada in the car, and they'll go for preaching. Even in Surat, same thing happened. They offered the whole thing. So Prabhupada would have daily Indian food, Malaysia, that Indian lady would cook. Very nicely she would cook him. So Prabhupada once asked that lady, Mataji, do you know how to make kachoris? She said, yes. Prabhupada said, please make tomorrow. So next day she made wonderful kachoris. Prabhupada from childhood was fond of kachoris. So she made wonderful kachoris and Prabhupada ate so many kachoris and fed his disciples. And he said, Mataji, you should teach my disciples how to make kachoris. Actually, she took a class on making kachoris for all Prabhupada disciples and her. Actually, she took a class. After a few years, Prabhupada, in some other country, he met a man, and that man, just talking formality, casually, he asked, Swamiji, have you ever visited Malaysia? Prabhupada said, yes, I remember I had very nice kachoris there. Out of all the preaching in Malaysia, Prabhupada remembered that kachori. So in Surat, there was a businessman who invited Prabhupada to Surat. Every day Prabhupada and his disciples would do Harinam in Surat. He opened his whole house. Four or five bedrooms he gave to Prabhupada. The whole family shifted to one room with all their luggage and suitcases. And they opened the whole house, Prabhupada, please use. And so many days Prabhupada, when he first came to Bombay at the airport, Prabhupada had nobody, no contact in Bombay, and he came with his disciples. He had one contact who was not from Bombay, whose friend was in Bombay. He told Prabhupada, you please go, I will tell my friend, he will help you out. And that friend of Prabhupada reached airport and he saw Swamiji with his foreign disciples. Now where will he stay? There was no arrangement, no hotels. He brought all of them to their house. For 40 days, 40 days Prabhupada and all his disciples, more than 40, 50, and they kept on arriving. They stayed in his house. He emptied his whole bungalow, and his first floor, second floor, and he gave to Prabhupada. And for all these days, he fed Prabhupada morning, afternoon, evening. And anytime Prabhupada would like to go, he would take him to his car. Now they saw foreigners, they were used to do Sankirtan, and after Sankirtan they would collect some dollars. They were used to do that in foreign. So they did it in Bombay also. So he saw. So he didn't like it. He went to Prabhupada that night. And he folded hands and he said, Swamiji, I have a request. He said, what? He said, till you are my guest, please don't do any collection. I will bear all the expenses, whatever you want. But please, I don't like, don't do this collection. He didn't like that. My guests are there and they are doing it. Prabhupada said, no, we are not collecting for our expenses. We are collecting for the temple. But he said, please, I don't like it. Please don't. He had tears in his eyes. I met this person just recently. After all these years, he remembered this. And when he told, he was crying. He served devotees only for a few days. After that, he was not part of his court till now. But still, he remembered serving Prabhupada. How much sukruti he got. How much bhakti he got by doing this. So this is ideal system. Where pure devotees and householders together, they preach Krishna consciousness. Then only people in Kali Yuga can get benefit. And they go forward and enlighten each other in spiritual life. Every conditioned soul is supposed to go back home, back to Godhead as soon as possible. This is Krishna's desire. This is Krishna's eagerness. So when we help in such an endeavor, then Krishna is very pleased with us. Pleased by us. We become his priya. We become his dear. No, we become his priyatam, dearest. Krishna says, such soul is very dear to me. There is nobody as dear to me as such person. So ISKCON is such a nice moment. Srila Prabhupada gave such a nice opportunity for us to get engaged, to preach, to participate. So we should wholeheartedly, with full seriousness, practice our sadhana, do our seva, so that we contribute to the movement and we also grow in spiritual. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. Any questions?